Matthew chapter number 12, if you would please. Matthew chapter number 12. As we look at another miracle story of Jesus' earthly ministry, this is a very brief one and somewhat obscure. Matthew chapter number 12, and beginning in the 22nd verse, Matthew chapter number 12, and beginning in verse number 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? And let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the preaching of the word of God this morning. Father, I submit myself to your Holy Spirit the best that I know how. And Father, I pray that you would take the eternal truths of the Word of God, that you would speak to our minds and hearts this morning, that you would purify us, that you would edify us, and Father, that you would get the glory from it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Here we find a very simple and brief healing story in the book of Matthew, just about a man who was possessed with a devil, and because of the possession, was blind and dumb, and Jesus healed him, and of course the people were amazed. As often in the Gospels, these stories are told with little trappings, literary freedom taken, but just as a matter of fact event that happened in the life of Christ. And so it is here in Matthew chapter number 12. We find this somewhat obscure and simple miracle story relayed to us here in Matthew. It is also relayed briefly in Luke chapter 11. And of course, I think it is kind of typical of Jesus' healing while he was on earth. And obviously, the lack of elaboration in the miracle story here should not get us to overlook the importance in the life of this man of this great healing. And it's kind of like us today. You know, my salvation as an 8-year-old boy, as I mentioned earlier, didn't really shake the earth or shake the country or shake the church even that I was in. And probably when everyone left that Sunday, they didn't even take into consideration that a young man had become born again, but it sure transformed my life. And so it is with this miracle story. It wasn't that big a deal to everyone in the region or the area or the nation or maybe even the world, but it was a huge deal in the life of that individual man. And let me say also, you don't understand how much one event affects your life until you consider that, of course, salvation, of course, changes our eternal destination. But even beyond that, it changes our earthly direction, and so much to the point that even our children would not be born if certain decisions were not made, and the family that we have would not exist if certain decisions were not made. And so literally, this event changed history. And let me just say, a lot of seemingly small events in our lives do just that. To this man, this was a big event immediately and a historic event in the life of him and his family. Let's consider some things about this simple story in the Bible. First, let's see the debilitating influence of the demons. Or the demon in this case. The Bible says in Matthew 12 and verse 22, Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Of course, dumb not meaning ignorant here, but rather meaning could not speak. He couldn't get his words out. He couldn't talk. And so the Bible says that the demon in this man's life had a great impact in the negative. And let me just say, a demon is a satanic spirit. And let me say, a spirit, the word spirit in the Bible is the same word that is translated wind. And it's the idea of it tries to move us somewhere. And so the Holy Spirit tries to move us to good and right and God, and the evil spirits of this world, and the unclean spirits of this world, and the demonic spirits of this world, and the satanic spirits of this world try to move us to harm and destruction, both to our lives and the lives of others. And make no mistake about it, everything in this world is moved by some spirit. Everything. There's no such thing as a spiritually neutral song. There is no such thing as a spiritual neutral movie. There is no such thing as a spiritually neutral book. There's no such thing as that, because everything has a spirit moving it one way or the other. And so this man had gotten to the point where he had given in to this demonic spirit so much that it now controlled every part of his life. And it now completely had him in its grasp. The Bible is clear that Satan and his demons are in this world attempting to lead us away from God, and therefore all that is good, to our own detriment and destruction. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in our Bibles. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. And the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And so the Bible teaches that there is an enemy. There is someone who hates every human being that walks the face of this earth. There is someone who wants every human being that walks the face of this earth to spend eternity in hell. There is someone that even wants every Christian who's going on their way to heaven tonight or today. He wants us to spend our life in misery and destruction and loss and ruin. And let me just say, his name is Satan. And let me say, that is just a word that absolutely means enemy. And never mistake your enemy for your friend. Never make the mistake of thinking your enemy is your friend. It is a horrendous mistake that will cost you dearly in life. And do not ever get to the point where you somehow believe that Satan and his imps of hell have anything good in your life to give to your life. He is our enemy and should never be trusted. He always, when he first possesses, when he first influences, when he first moves upon our life, he may bring a little bit of fun, a little bit of happiness in the moment. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but ultimately his goal is our destruction. That's his goal. It's always his intention. It's always his intention. It's who he is. He's the enemy. That's who he is. And so don't trust him. Don't ever trust him. So in life, I've got to go through life trying to discern. There's all different kinds of things moving me. The Bible says there are many voices in the world, and they're telling me to do something. The book of Proverbs in one chapter talks about how the Spirit of God calls from one place in the city, in the street, and that the wicked call from another place in the street, and they're both calling to us all the time in life. It's my job to strive to discern the spirits and figure out which one is from God. Matter of fact, 1 John 4 states it plainly that way. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Many years ago, I was talking to a man who was struggling to come out of addictions and problems and difficulties in life. And he had gotten to the point where he understood there were so many paths. There were so many lines he could take. There were so many things calling to him and talking to him and trying to get him to make this decision or that. And he said, "How do I know which one is from God and which one is not?" And I said very plainly, I said, "You just take the Bible and try the spirits. If it agrees with this book, it's from God. If it disagrees with this book, it is out of the pits of hell." It's that simple in life. "Well, I just feel moved to do this." If it's against this book, that's a demon moving you to do it. It's an unclean spirit. It's a satanic influence. And so the Bible, "Well, I just feel led to do this." Well, it's not the God of heaven leading you to go against his book, because he's not double-minded. He doesn't speak with a forked tongue. He speaks plainly in the truth and is consistent in all that he says. And so the debilitating influence of the demons is seen in this man's life. I should be careful what influence I allow into my life. "Well, it's just music." No, it's not. It's a spirit. "Well, it's just a TV show. It's just a book. It's just make-believe." No, it's more than that. It's an influence on your life. It's an impact in your life. And you say, "Well, I won't give into it fully. I just delve into it a little bit." That's how it always starts. That's how it always starts. It's just the way it is. The debilitating influence of the demons is seen clearly. And so I'm to try the spirits. The end result of demonic influence is debilitating and destructive effects on my life, such as blindness. Now, in this case, it was a physical blindness, but in reality is often spiritual blindness. Just stumbling through life, having no idea how to navigate this world because they have no sight. I will not be able to make good judgments because I will not see clearly when I am in the bonds of demonic influence. Not only that, but I will not be able to speak intelligibly. In other words, I'll have nothing of value to say. I might as well just speak gibberish. Do you know how many times I go out visiting in this area and I talk to someone and I knock on the door and I say, "Do you know from the Bible that you have a home in heaven?" And immediately some crazy things come out of their mouth. I mean, all kind. "Well, I just don't believe that. I just believe everybody should do this or that or this or this or other thing." And you're just like, "Wow, I don't have no idea what you just said, and neither do you." All right? And the truth is, in life, without God, without his focus, without his purpose, without his light, he is the light of the world. And without him, you can see nothing clearly in life. And so this was the case of this man. He was caught in the bind of the devil, blind and dumb. Let's go to John chapter 11. And this is the case of all who allow the devil to have control of their life, or a demon to influence them greatly in life. John chapter 11 and verse number 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Do you get that? The reason when you walk at night you stumble is because there is no light in you. Why? You've got to get it somewhere else. That's just the way it is. And he is the light of the world. And let me just say, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I've got to get an outside source of light in order to walk through this world. If I don't, if I live in darkness, if I love the darkness of this world, then of course I will stumble. And guess what happens when you walk around in darkness with no light? Guess what happens? Invariably, you end up hurt. It's just the way it happens. Invariably, you end up hurt. Just try it tonight, all right? Turn off all the lights in your house and just walk around for a couple of hours in complete darkness. Or better yet, go to someone's house, anybody's. No, don't do that. Walk around in a dark house that you don't even know where you're at. I will guarantee you, you are going to get hurt. Why? Because you can't make sense of anything. So many people live their life on this earth in that manner. So we see the debilitating effect of the demon. Secondarily, we see the delightful impact of the Savior. So succinct of a story, so straightforward. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22, our text, again, I'll read it. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, matter-of-factly. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. This man came into the presence of the Savior, and the presence of the Savior made an immediate impact in his life. What an amazing truth to understand. All through the Gospels it's given, when Jesus was there, things happened for the better. When Jesus came into your presence, things happened for the better. When Jesus came into your home, things happened for the better. When Jesus came around, the sick were healed. The lame could walk. The blind could see. The dumb could speak. The deaf could hear. When Jesus came around, it made a difference for good. Don't miss the big point of all of Scripture, and that is that God is good. All the time. That if you want good in your life, get God involved in your life. The delightful impact of the Savior. Oh, the great impact of being in the presence of the Savior. Proverbs chapter 3 in our Bible. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. Hey, I'm saying today, wherever you're at in life, whoever you are, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm telling you, he's the source of all good. Come to him for eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm reminding you today, he is the source of all good. Do not neglect to stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. Stay in his presence. Each and every day. Wherever you are in life, whatever your circumstances are, we would always benefit greatly from being in the presence of the Savior. He is a source of all good. He is holy, set apart to do only good and right. He wants to bless and help my life and yours. Draw nigh unto him. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 in Scripture. This is the miracle story in the Bible that kind of is the template of all others, if you will. It's the simple, matter-of-fact healing of a life. And so it is always in the presence of Christ. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I'm reminding you today that if you want good in your life, get in the presence of God. It's interesting. And a couple of the Gospels, God gives a verse that is almost identical with just one simple change to it. In one Gospel, it says something like this, and I'm probably not going to quote it exactly, but I'm paraphrasing maybe a little. It says something like this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so it says, just ask for my presence, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, the Holy Spirit walking with you, the paraclete, the one who walks aside to assist, the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God in my life. In another Gospel, it quotes, it says almost the identical thing with one little change. It says this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much the more shall your heavenly Father give good things unto his children? You see, the Bible equates the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, with good. They're one and the same. Because anytime God is there, always good is being done. And anytime God is absent, always bad is being done. Because this world decays naturally without the sustainer and giver of life, God Himself, by whom all things consist or are held together. I'm saying today, stay in God's presence. You say, boy, my life is deteriorating. Get in the presence of God and let Him infuse good. You say, boy, my spiritual strength is failing. Get in the presence of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, the Bible says. I am saying every single day of your life, pick up this Bible and read it. Every single day of your life, spend some time with God in personal prayer, praying through a prayer list. I am saying stay in His presence. It's the source of all good. It is the source of all good. The delightful impact of the Savior. And finally, we see the distinct insight of the people. Matthew chapter 12, again, back to our text, and this time the 23rd verse. Well, we'll read 22nd as well, since it's such a short passage here. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? The distinct insight. It was plain in front of their face, so plain that even these people that were spiritually impaired couldn't help but noticing. And they basically said, boy, this seems a lot like the prophetic son of David from the Old Testament. To those who experience or see the power of the Savior work in their life or in the life of another, the conclusion becomes as obvious as the nose on their face. This is Jesus. This is the Christ, the son of David. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the God of heaven. This is the Creator of the universe. This is the one who can change everything in a moment of time. This is the source of all good. Now, the Son of David in particular refers to many Old Testament prophecies that the Messiah would come from the lineage and seed of David. It was a recognition that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the judge of the whole earth, Philippians chapter 2. And let me just say, if you really want to understand and comprehend spiritual things in this life, if you really want your questions answered, if you really want your life to really see, if you will, what life is all about, then just get in the presence of the Savior and let Him do some work in your life or the life of another, and all of a sudden, all your questions are answered. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, it's so interesting how just a moment in the presence of the Savior can be so life-transforming. I remember years ago, I was in Texas. I was traveling with Dr. Joe Boyd, who was an evangelist for over 50 years and traveled around the country. He's passed away now. And I was down in Texas with him. And we were doing a revival meeting. He always took, in the summertime, young men who were called to preach. We would travel with him, and we'd drive around in a van and follow his big bus that he took everywhere he went. And then we would go and hold revival meetings. And the summer that I was with him, we were mainly in Texas, went to Colorado and Illinois, a few other places as well, but mainly in Texas. And what we did as young men, and it was great training, is what we did is basically we got up every morning. We had church services every night that we weren't on the road. But we got up every morning and we had our breakfast, and then we had our devotional time, and then we had classes, and then we went out soul winning all afternoon, basically. And then we had a meeting that night. We ate dinner, then had a meeting that night. And so it was a great opportunity to really draw close to the Lord as a young man. And so I began to ask God to really use me and help me to minister to others. We traveled up to Illinois, and when I was in the city of Freeport, Illinois, with Dr. Boyd, I was given a name, and I had really been pleading with God to really see His work in my life. And I remember that I was given a name and an address to visit, a young man, and I didn't know who he was, but they told me to go by and witness to him. And I remember I went by and I witnessed to him, and I remember he was so open and ready, and as soon as we started talking, he opened his heart to the Lord. And in a few minutes, probably 20, 25 minutes, at the beginning of the conversation, he was like, "Well, I've got a lot of questions about the Bible and about God." And I said to him, "Well, let me talk to you first about this most important thing. Then we'll talk about all your questions." And so he said, "Okay." And so I gave him the gospel. He put his faith and trust in Christ. And he was weeping as he did. And I remember afterwards, I got done, I said, "Sir, now let's talk about some of the questions you have." And he looked at me, he said, "I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions." And you know what? It was just like that. He said, "I cannot tell you why." He said, "But when you started talking about Jesus, I just started believing." That's what he said. He came to church that night and got baptized at the revival meeting. And I found out after the fact that he was a family member of one of the main families in the church, and they had been praying for him for years for him to get saved. Because the truth of the matter is that all the questions in his mind and all the complaints that he had and all the things that he had to say about Christ and all the questions he had about faith and all the things about the Bible that he disagreed with disappeared in a moment when he seen Christ. When he's seen Christ. And let me just say today, if you want your life to be changed, get in the presence of the Savior. That's how you do it. You say, "Well, I'm already saved." If you want your life to be transformed into His image, stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed.